Okay, should I go back to the part where I was talking about the hair gel? And, no, okay. Mike is on now. Okay, we'll leave that other part out. But we saw that Mark Driscoll makes a basic statement about the Bible's teaching about Satan. And as I was saying, what I love about Mark Driscoll is he always brings it back to Jesus Christ. When we look at these sequences of video clips, he is always bringing in the gospel. Whatever the issue is, whatever the argument, he is concerned that people get saved. And so he's always bringing up the fact that Christ sacrificed himself for our sins, gave himself for us, rose from the dead, and if we'll put our faith in him, we can be saved. That is so cool. But basically what he says is that, and I think this is great, he lays a foundation. And he says, look, God is eternal. God is the creator. Satan is not eternal. He hasn't existed forever. He is simply a part of the creation. God is omnipresent. Satan is not. He was created as an angel, and ironically, he was created as a very powerful, probably the most powerful angel. His name was Lucifer, which means the light bringer. And so he was beautiful and glorious. In fact, it said he had pipes, meaning that he probably led worship among the angels when he was first created. But he fell because of pride. And if you want to go on Facebook and look up Paul Hinton, you'll see a little... Paul, you write some awesome questions on Facebook, brother. I love those. Man, you just draw things out. And I made a little comment about... And we'll talk about this more in the next couple of weeks, about the fact that God did not create anything evil. However, in Satan, when he chose to rebel and he exercised his will to disobey God, evil was found in him. And we explore a little bit about that mystery of evil. Anyway, so Satan is simply an angel. He's a fallen angel. He was originally good. He rebelled against God. And a third of the angels followed him. Praise God, two-thirds didn't. And there are more of those with us than there are with him. But also, as Mark said, our parents, Adam and Eve, in whom all of humanity resided at that point, also followed him. They were deceived by him, rebelled against the commandment of God, and in doing so, they spiritually died. They became at enmity with God. And they also suffered the effects of physical death as a result. Spiritual death, physical death. And the problem is, since everybody would come through Adam's loins, as it were, everyone that was born of his seed was born with that curse of spiritual death in them, in bondage and enslaved to sin and Satan and death. So whereas Adam was created as a servant of God, as an ambassador and a representative to bear the image of God, when he chose to rebel and obey Satan instead, he became enslaved to Satan. Because as Jesus said, to whom you yield yourselves to obey, to him you are their servant or slave to obey. But praise God, in the fullness of time, God had sent his son who was born of a virgin. There was no seed of Adam there. And he, Jesus Christ, lived a sinless life. A righteous life, gave himself, as I said, as a sacrifice for us, rose from the dead, and now he has the power, he has given us the power to be free from Satan and sin and death. Also, he shall restore all things. You know, people say, well, if God is all good, how come this world is screwed up? You know, either God doesn't have the power or he's not all good. Well, God's intention is that he is going to create ultimately a place where everything is restored and the world will be a good place. The difference is we will choose to be in that place because we love God. We're not robots. We have a will to exercise. Anyway, all of that to give a little background about who Satan is and who he really is not. So let's hear the counterpoint from this popular New Age author, Deepak Chopra, if you can understand what he says.
Deepak Chopra for an opening statement.
I'm Deepak Chopra, and I think our consciousness, or if you will, our soul, is a place of contrast, because all creation occurs through contrast. You have up and down, you have hot and cold, you have light and darkness. So our essential state is one of ambiguity, ambivalence. And Freud, the great psychiatrist in the last century, the psychologist, said that neurosis and sometimes even psychosis is the inability to tolerate our ambiguity. The fact that we are sacred and profane at the same time, that we are divine and diabolical at the same time, that we can have forbidden lust on the one hand and unconditional love on the other. This is the human condition. That there's a part of us that is called the shadow. And this is a relatively recent idea. The shadow is that part of us that is fearful, that is diabolical, that is scared, that has guilt and shame, that is in denial, and that believes in sin. It comes from separation from our divine source. If we want to understand the nature of evil in the world, we need to understand the nature of our own shadows. We need to embrace them, we need to forgive them, we need to share them with each other, and we need to confront them. It is my belief that people who obsess over sin, people who obsess over guilt and shame, and unfortunately, there are religious institutions that have actually idealized guilt and shame and made it into a virtue. And when we obsess over these things and we collectively create this obsession, then we project it out there as this mythical figure that we call Satan. Healthy people do not have any need for Satan. Healthy people need to confront their own issues, understand themselves, and move towards the direction of compassion, creativity, understanding, context, insight, inspiration, revelation, and understanding that we are part of an ineffable mystery. That the moment we label that mystery as good and evil, right and wrong, then we create conflict in the world, and that all the trouble in the world today is between religious ideologies. There are approximately 30 wars going on in the world, and they're mostly in the name of God. So I would say, be done with Satan and confront your own issues.
Very, very popular, huge best-selling author, even won a Nobel Prize, and we know how valuable that is. Bad pastor. That really puts it in perspective. Thank you, Gene. That's right. He uses that word frequently, diabolical. And as you say, Diablos is the devil. And so we are. Oh, brother. Okay, so he's kind of hard to make out. But throughout all of this diatribe, Chopak says nothing. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. He says, what? Yeah, say nothing. I told you to stop saying things. Chopak, thank you, Tom, says nothing to disprove the existence of Satan. He says nothing to disprove it. He simply offers his opinion about some stuff. He doesn't make a real argument. He doesn't line up a proposition, give supporting evidence, and lead to a conclusion. He simply gives an argument. He says, well, this is what I think. Now, it's interesting. He says we all have basically a good side and a bad side, and that's not too far from the truth. It's not entirely accurate. I mean, after all, we were made in the image of God. We have a conscience given to us from God, so we know right from wrong. We sin against that very knowledge and do the things we know are wrong, fail to do the things we know are right, but we often have good intentions and we know that there is a right and there is a wrong. Even when some of these atheist professors and philosophers say, well, there really is no right and wrong, like this guy did, In our conscience, we know that there is right and wrong. If somebody takes something from you, if you let your purse on the seat on the bus and someone grabs it and walks off, you're going to be a little mad because it's not right to do that. But he says we have a good side and a bad side, a light and a dark side. The problem is, even though we know right from wrong and we were made in the image of God, that image has been marred and distorted by sin. And so our understanding is skewed, and we are also now in bondage to sin. So as I said, we don't do the things we know we ought to. We do the things we know we should not do. Now, it is what it is, but it's what he said after that, if you were listening carefully, that really rattles my cage, really pushes my buttons, because this is what he said. It caught my ears when I heard it. What he says is that there's this dark side called the shadow. Ooh. And it's a relatively recent thing, so good thing he was listening to something or reading something somewhere, or he would just be completely ignorant about truth. And he says this dark side, this shadow, is that part of us that, and if you caught it, believes in sin. Believes in right and wrong, good and evil, guilt and shame. And he later comes back and says that when we label things as good and evil or as right and wrong, that we create conflict and that this is the cause of all the trouble in the world today. Excuse me? This is all the cause of all the trouble. We label things right and wrong. When somebody goes out and does a drive-by shooting and shoots up, you know, machine guns, three rival gang members, and kills an innocent child in the process, we want to make sure we don't label that as evil. We don't want to say that's wrong. You know, it just is what it is. It's a part of entropy. The contrast to evolution is what he says. But it's not wrong. It's not evil. If somebody kidnaps your little girl and rapes her and murders her and throws her body in a ditch in the woods, that is not evil. We just need understanding. We need to embrace that shadow so that we can understand it and not judge other people.